It's the State of Disunion. This is Joff Parrish. Credit George W. Bush, if nothing else, for swinging for the fences. Between his inaugural address 2 weeks ago and Wednesday night's State of the Union, Bush has laid out foreign and domestic agendas that are as sweeping and radical as anything in a generation. After the careful stewardship of Bush Sr. and Clinton, there is at last a vision as far-reaching as the implications of the Soviet Union's collapse would suggest. It's a pity so many of us disagree with it. What was remarkable about the State of the Union speech was not only Bush's ambition, but that most Democrats, and at times moderate Republicans as well, held their applause and sat in stony silence throughout. When Bush introduced Social Security reform, some Democrats used the occasion for catcalls. Bush would like very much to believe he is governing with a mandate, but he won in November by the slimmest of margins. With Republican majorities in both houses, Bush is hoping to parlay his slim majority into absolute power. What's going to stop him? In Congress, the answer may be those moderate Republicans. Democrats find themselves on the defensive, mired in the yes-but mode of objecting to the policies beneath the grandiose phrases. Conscientious Republicans are much better situated to challenge all this. When people like Maine Senator Olympia Snowe question the specifics of Bush's Social Security plan, it comes with the knowledge that the legislator would like to support Bush, but the numbers don't quite add up. Democrats, by contrast, come off as being reflexively anti-Bush. If there is hope for stopping the Bush-Frist-Hastert congressional legislative juggernaut, or even forcing substantive changes once those details are hammered out, it must come from moderate Republicans like Snowe, who has said she would, quote, certainly not, unquote, support Bush's Social Security proposal as is. Democrats will need those votes, and more, to stop Bush's plan. All this is too bad, because the democracy Bush is so visibly hoping to export is not being especially well served at home. Bush in reality still presides over a badly divided country, nearly half of which loathes his policies but finds very little in the way of politicians representing their own beliefs. Democrats and blue state Americans in general sat on their hands Wednesday as Bush rolled through issue after issue: Social Security, Iraq, federal spending, gay marriage, human embryo research, a new energy bill and oil exploration, making permanent his tax cuts for the wealthy, limiting lawsuit damages, and so on. Equally relevant for the millions of us unrepresented by Bush's speech were all of the issues left unmentioned: an unaccountable Pentagon budget, health care, the environment, the still lagging economy, yada yada yada. On these and many other issues, the Bush legacy will have been that of foxes guarding henhouses, quietly, away from the public eye, redirecting resources and wealth away from the common good and toward those who don't really need the help. This is not as hopeless as it sounds. When Bill Clinton had both houses of Congress for the Democrats and the intent of reforming health care in 93 and 94, he ultimately failed because much of the public was convinced by insurance company PR that the reforms were a bad idea. It can be done. The late great environmentalist David Brower used to say that politicians are like weather vanes. It's up to us to make the wind blow. From KPCS, from the Pacifica Network, this is Joff Parrish.